although we won't get through all of this tonight, this is the portion of Scripture we're going to consider. So read with me here. Follow along as I read. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Now Paul has been dealing with this issue of strife and division within this church at Corinth. And he's lately has been talking about and comparing man's wisdom with God's wisdom. God's wisdom is superior, certainly, to man's. And Paul has said to these folks that the world thinks that God's wisdom is foolishness. And this was part of the problem with this church. They were operating in human wisdom and not in the wisdom of God, and it was causing division among them. But Paul says, as he's comparing God's wisdom with man's wisdom, he says, even though the world thinks it's foolish, we are, however, speaking wisdom. Only it's God's wisdom that the world does not understand. Look at verse 7 of chapter 2. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He says, we are speaking wisdom. It's just the wisdom of God, and the world cannot attain to it and doesn't understand it. He says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. This is the Greek word mysterion, and it means something that is held in secret. So God's wisdom is held in secret. And it doesn't refer to something that is strange or something that is a puzzle, but rather it's something that is intentionally withheld in secret. So in other words, God intentionally withholds his wisdom from natural men who operate in human wisdom. And this is the reason. God withholding his truth, God withholding his wisdom from the natural man or from those who would operate in human wisdom. It's the very reason that somebody can sit through preaching service after preaching service when the gospel of Jesus Christ is clearly taught and preached and the Spirit of God is there. It's the very reason that someone can sit through that over and over and over again and not respond, not understand it. Because something is not in their heart or right in their heart to be open to God and to the truth of God. And the truth of God is intentionally withheld, or understanding of it is withheld. It's the very reason that someone who claims to be a Christian, if they even read their Bible, is not regularly blessed or instructed by God's Word. You know, maybe they sit through preaching services and sermons are dull. Sermons are boring. The Word of God isn't rich to them. They don't find spiritual food. If they even read their Bible, they don't get guidance from it. It doesn't bring peace to their soul. It doesn't feed them with this spiritual food, and their soul doesn't long for it. That's the reason. Because the natural man, which we'll get to in a little while, doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Paul says we are speaking wisdom, but we're speaking the wisdom of God, which the world can't reach or attain or understand. We speak it in a mystery, something that is intentionally withheld. Paul gets down to verse 9 and he says that the eternal truths of God, they're not perceived by natural means. Verse 9, he says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, I mentioned this before, this is a verse that is often misapplied, and I've done the same thing many, many times. Whenever you have heard this verse or heard it preached, maybe you've heard it referring to heaven. But Paul is not referring to the wonders of heaven here at all. Rather, he's referring to the wisdom that God has prepared for believers and the eternal truths of God. Those things aren't perceived by natural means. The eye hasn't seen and the ear hasn't heard and it hasn't even entered into the heart of man, especially the natural man. The things that God has, the wisdom of God that he has prepared for his people. And his point is that natural eyes and natural ears and natural hearts of men cannot know and comprehend God's wisdom. It is reserved for those who love him. Eternal truths are not perceived by natural means. He gets to verses 10 through 14, and Paul says that eternal truths, those things are spiritually discerned. Verse 10, he says, but God, so the things that haven't entered into the hearts of the natural men, those things, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. He says, how is it that you understand and that you know what's going on with someone else? Well, you have the same spirit. You got the human spirit. Even so, it's the same thing with God. Nobody knows God and the real God like the Holy Spirit because he is God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So Paul says, these eternal truths that aren't perceived by natural means, those things are spiritually discerned, and the natural man can't receive it. He says, those things are revealed to us by the Spirit of God to the spirit of men. So just like you and I can understand each other's emotions and feelings because we have human spirits, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And that's why Paul says, hey, we haven't received the spirit of the world, but we've received the Holy Spirit that we might receive those things that God has freely given to us. That wealth of God's wisdom that the natural man cannot receive, we've got the Holy Spirit of God to reveal it to our spirit. If we're to understand anything about the truth of God, it needs to be revealed by his Spirit. He says that in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What does that phrase mean, comparing spiritual things with spiritual? Well, it simply means that the truths of God must be evaluated on a spiritual plane. They can't be evaluated on a natural or physical plane or natural or physical understanding. That is why, listen, this is why rationalism cannot reason God and his truth. Because the truths of God have to be evaluated on a spiritual plane. And the natural man doesn't have that. Does that make sense? Rationalism can never reason God or his truth. And then Paul makes a very profound statement, verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. In other words, the natural man, he's not even equipped to receive the things of the Spirit of God. Tonight, we're going to look at verses 14 through 16. And in these text verses, as we read down through verse 4 of chapter 3, Paul reveals three kinds of people: the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man. And we're only going to have time for two of these tonight, and we'll consider the third one next week. But the title of the message tonight is, "Which man are you? Which man are you? The natural man, the spiritual man, or the carnal man?" Let's pray and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd teach us now and instruct us from your word. May your spirit have full control here. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, consider verse 14 with me, the natural man. Paul says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You know, it's possible to read the Bible and yet not understand it. It's possible to study it for many, many years, even memorizing much of it, and still not really grasp in the soul and in the heart and the spirit the truth of God. I think a good example of that is the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day. There was no one who was more trained in the Old Testament than the scribes and the Pharisees. And yet, and they knew the law, so many of them, forwards and backwards, and yet they missed the central message of the Old Testament. They completely missed the promised Messiah, which was Jesus, when he walked among them. They didn't accept the things of the Spirit of God, and it seemed foolishness to them to accept and receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Why? Why did it seem foolish to them? Because they didn't belong to God. They couldn't understand, because the things of God are spiritually discerned. And so it's possible, listen, to be raised in a Christian home. It's possible to be raised in a pastor's family, to have the Word of God all to, you know, access to you, or access to it your entire life, to even memorize much of it and still not grasp the truth of God. Verse 14 says the reason is because the things of God, the natural man can't even know them, because they're spiritually discerned. This word discerned here is a Greek word that means to investigate, or it means to determine. The natural man can't receive, can't even know the things of the Spirit of God. They can't investigate, they can't determine the things of God. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. They're spiritually determined, not physically. The natural man is a person who lives naturally. That is, he lives his life with the old Adamic nature, doesn't have a new nature. And simply put, the natural man is a lost man. He might be a church member. She might be a church member. Maybe a good person, quote. Maybe a moral person, but lost. And this passage here shows us two truths about the natural man. First of all, we find that the natural man does not appreciate the things of God. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. The things of God are foolishness to someone who is yet in their sin nature. The word foolishness here comes from a Greek word where morine, which where we get our English word moron from. To the lost man, the things of God and the spiritual things seem moronic. It means silly. Doesn't understand or appreciate any type of spiritual expression. And when a person who's lost, maybe it's a person who's a church member even, is exposed to the things of God or to spiritual expression, they often will become very uncomfortable. I've told you this story before. I remember as a teenager in the youth group having a profession of faith but not being saved. I used to hate it when it was, quote, testimony time. And our youth director, Brother Scott Kuzel, you know, he'd go around the room for testimonies and so on. Or maybe we're sitting around a campfire at camp and let's testify of what God has done. And we go around the circle. And man, I dreaded when it came to me because I had nothing to say. Try to come up with all kinds of things to sound spiritual. Maybe know some lingo, but the words were empty and vain because there's nothing in the heart. I wonder tonight, if we were to go around the room at Plaque Road Baptist Church and let's give a salvation testimony. Tell us how the Lord brought you to a place of salvation. I wonder how many people would start to stutter or inside would dread when it's their turn because they don't have anything to say. I don't know. But I know that the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, doesn't like spiritual expression, doesn't like to talk about the things of God, often becomes very uncomfortable, and will usually respond in one of three ways. You know, when there's that spiritual influence around them, they usually don't want anything to do with it. They're going to drop out. You know what? I'm going to excuse myself here. Oh, look at the time. Doesn't want to partake. I'm talking about the things of the Lord. Maybe when that spiritual influence is around them to the point where they can't get away from it, they just say, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm moving out. I don't want to be around that. They can't take it. They can't handle it. Because it brings conviction to their own soul. Or sometimes they even lash out. Confronted with the truth of God and the conviction of the Spirit of God that brings condemnation inside, and they don't like that, and so they lash out. That's the natural man. That's what they do. Because they don't appreciate the things of God. There's no desire in their heart for the things of God. And so they can't appreciate the things of God. Verse 14, they don't receive the things of God because they're foolishness unto them. You know, those who are spiritually minded, who love God with all of their heart, maybe they've got some real convictions about the way that they live. The natural man, maybe even a person who's a church member, they'll look across the aisle or look at the way that these people live and think that their standards and their convictions are silly. I wonder why. They don't receive the things of God. They don't appreciate the things of God. Verse 14 says here, their foolishness to them, neither can they know them because they're spiritually discerned. When it says they don't receive the things of God, it literally means that they're not even equipped to handle the things of God. Because, the reason is, because they're spiritually dead. Ephesians chapter 2, go over there with me. They're not even equipped to handle the things of the Spirit of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 1 says, "And you hath He quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." Since we are in the natural state, the natural man is dead in their sins. A person who is dead in their sins naturally or simply cannot grasp spiritual things. Just like a man who is physically dead can't respond to physical stimulus. You understand? You follow what I'm saying? By the same token, a person who is spiritually dead can't respond to spiritual stimulus. This is why when the Word of God is preached or some truth of God is revealed, you know, that to a saved person would just bless their soul. It would stir them. It would move them to praise God. They can sit there like a bump on a log. Unmoved. The truth of God doesn't move them and stir them and compel them to worship God. They don't respond to spiritual stimulus because they're dead. They cannot and do not rejoice in the richness of God's truth, and they're not stirred in their soul and their spirit. Why? Because they're spiritually dead. That's the natural man. Have you ever had that happen to you? You know, the truth of God is being preached. Maybe even just hearing a testimony of someone, that something that God did in someone else's heart and their life. Man, and your soul and your spirit is just moved and compelled to praise God and just stirred in your soul. Maybe there's a message that's preached and some truth comes out that's being revealed and being taught that just, in your soul, it just makes you want to cry out to God. Has that ever happened to you? Man, the Word of God sometimes is just so, so rich. That doesn't happen to the natural man. He can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness. He's not equipped. And listen, man is a triune being. We're a body, a soul, and a spirit made in the image of God. And you know, the natural man, the unsaved man, he's sort of two parts alive. His body and his soul are alive. But the thing, the part of him, the primary part that can know and respond to God is dead, his spirit. God's Word. See, it needs to be spiritually evaluated. It needs to be spiritually discerned. It needs to be spiritually understood. And the natural man is spiritually dead. So he cannot receive those things. This is why a person, before they're saved, you know, this, well, I tried reading the Bible and it just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, I just don't really understand it. And as the Spirit of God begins to work in their heart and to draw them to Jesus Christ and to their understanding, and they give their life to Christ and they're saved, all of a sudden they say, whoa, this is a brand new book. All of a sudden I can understand what I'm reading and these truths. I know how to apply that in my life. I know what that means, whereas I didn't before. Even people who are members of churches, long-time members of churches, who've had access to the Word of God their whole life, all of a sudden they come to know Jesus Christ really, truly, and all of a sudden they say, this is a brand new book. I've been reading this thing my entire life. I never understood it like this. That's spiritual, spiritually discerned. But the natural man is dead. And we see that Paul says here, and I'm wondering, and I don't know for certain, but Paul is writing in the context of a local New Testament church here. He's writing to those who say that they're believers. And there's division and there's strife in this church. They're carnal people and so on. And he's talking about human wisdom. He's talking about the natural man that can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. And I wonder if Paul is pointing out that a bunch of you members in this church aren't even saved people. Hence the division and the strife going on in that church. The question is, what man are you? Are you a natural man? Have you been born again by the Spirit of God? Has there been a change in your life? Go over to verses 15 and 16. And Paul then considers the spiritual man. He says in verse 14, the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them. They're foolishness unto him, because why? They're spiritually discerned. But then he says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Here he talks about the spiritual man. The spiritual man is one who lives supernaturally. That is, he lives a spiritual life. He lives a life that is not in the old, dead nature, but he lives his life in the power of the Spirit of God, the new nature, the new man, the spiritual man. And every saved person, everybody who is truly born of the Spirit of God, has that new nature. And every person who is saved has two natures, the old man and the new man, the old fleshly nature, the new spiritual nature. But the spiritual man is one who allows Christ to rule his life. In other words, Jesus Christ is not just present in his life. Jesus Christ is preeminent in his life. He's his master. Jesus doesn't just reside, you know, in the spiritual man's life. Jesus presides over the spiritual man's life. These verses here reveal to us some characteristics of the spiritual man's life. Notice, first of all, that this spiritual man is capable of understanding. Verse 15 says, "He that is spiritual judgeth all things." The word "judgeth" here is not used in the way that we would typically use the word "judge." You know, "don't judge me," kind of a thing. That's not how the word is used. The word simply means to examine. It means to understand. All right? So verse 15 says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth or understandeth all things, yet he himself is judged or understood of no man." So it means to understand. The spiritual man is capable of understanding God's truth. He's alive in his spirit, and he's equipped by the Holy Spirit, and so he's able to grasp real truth of God. It's not foolishness to him. The truth of God is powerful to him. The truth of God, listen, is a fountain of life to him. The truth of God is food for his hungry soul, and he delights in the truth of God. Oh man, he loves the Word of God. Man, this is evidence. Oh, this is evidence of real spiritual life. Do you love God's Word? Is it alive to you? Is God's Word rich to you? Is His truth compelling to you? Is there something inside of you that says and that longs for more of the truth of God? Or is it like this? Well, we better bring our Bible to church because that's what good Baptists do. Now I'm going to go about and live the rest of my week. Has no impact in your life the rest of the week? Oh, but it's Wednesday. I've got to bring that Bible. Where is that thing again? The spiritual man, he's capable of understanding. But not only that, it is not foolishness to him. It's a fountain of life to him or her. It's food for the hungry soul. The spiritual person, the spiritual man, where Jesus Christ is preeminent in his life and presides over his life, he desires it for his spiritual well-being and can't live without it because it's so rich to his soul. Amen? Delighting in the things of God, loving the Word of God. Look at Psalm 119 with me. Psalm 119, verse 97. Psalmist says here, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me." He says, "Oh, how I love thy law." Can you say that about God's Word? Does your soul long for the truth of God? Look at Psalm 42. Psalm 42. verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Just like that deer, you know, that's been running, maybe for its life. It's panting and longing for those water brooks. So my soul longs after you, Lord. And the psalmist says, he says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. I can't get enough. Look at Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Here's one who is thirsting after the Lord, longing after the Lord, not just for the presence of the Lord, but to see the power of the Lord and the glory given to the Lord. Is that something that you can relate to, child of God? Look at Psalm 84. Psalm 84 and verse 2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. The spiritual man is capable of understanding, longing for the things of God, loving the Word of God. And you know the ability to receive and understand the truth of God? Man, that doesn't depend on a person's IQ. It doesn't depend on a person's education. It doesn't depend on their ability at all. It is simply accomplished through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in the life of a believer that is yielded to the will of God and to the Spirit of God. It's the spiritual things of God. They're spiritually discerned, but they're revealed by the Holy Spirit to your spirit. There are many regular saints of God who know more about God and know more about His Word than some preachers do who have multiple degrees and doctorates and so on. Why? Not because of someone's IQ or education, but because of them being yielded to the Spirit of God and longing for the truth of God and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, ministering and illuminating their understanding. See, the spiritual man is drawn to the things of God and drawn to the truth of God. You know, like a moth is drawn to the light and doesn't want to leave it. The spiritual man is drawn to the things of God and drawn to the truth of God. Listen, it's evidence of real salvation. The opposite is also true, friend. Amen? No interest? Really no desire? No evidence of spiritual life? I wonder if it's because they can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. But the natural man, he's capable. He loves the things of God, but he's also, according to verse 15, if you look back there, verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth or understandeth all things, yet he himself is judged or understood of no man. Isn't this funny? Basically, what he's saying is that the spiritual man is the cause of a whole lot of amazement by people in this world. The phrase, yet he himself is judged of no man, it means that the lost and the world around the spiritual man basically can't figure him out. Doesn't understand him. What makes him tick? His life, the way he lives, it's a mystery to the natural man around him. They don't understand him. Maybe his life bothers them. Maybe the way he lives brings conviction or the way she lives brings conviction to others. They're baffled by it. Maybe they're baffled by how they can have so much peace and how they can have so much joy and how they can keep their faith in God in the midst of trial going on in their life. Maybe they have standards and convictions about them and they just go about living their life with these convictions that God has given to them, but simply by living out their convictions, it brings conviction into the hearts and the lives of others. And the lost around them, they don't understand it. The spiritual man can be a constant source of amazement to the natural man and to the carnal man. And the question is, are you a spiritual man or lady? Are you a spiritual man? Do you love the things of God? Are you drawn to the things of God? Which characterizes your life tonight? There's a third man that Paul mentions in chapter 3. Look over there. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto were ye not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" The third category offered here in this text is that of the carnal man. This kind of a person lives his life, basically we could say unnaturally. Maybe they live a sensual or a fleshly life. They're a saved person, but everything in their life is decided by how it affects them and how it makes them feel. And they basically live according to the flesh. The carnal man is certainly still a believer, but they're controlled by their flesh. The Corinthians, to whom Paul is writing, they were gifted. They came behind in no thing. See if I can find it. Verse 7, chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul wrote, writing to them, he says in verse 6, "Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here, this church and people in this church, they were gifted. They came behind in no gift, but they were still carnal, Paul said. They were babes in Christ. The carnal man has two natures, just like the spiritual man, but he's dominated by the old nature. And he quenches the influence of the Spirit of God in his life. And we don't have the time to consider all of the elements that are found here in these four verses tonight. But next time we'll consider this, the carnal man. And Paul, again, writing to this New Testament church, he says, you know what? The carnal man, or the natural man, he doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He's not even equipped to. But the spiritual man, he understands all things. And there's this whole world of the wisdom of God that is available, but it's reserved only for those that love Him. But then there's also the carnal man, a person who's saved, but they're still dominated by their flesh. And the question is, what man are you? Examine your own heart, even tonight. What characterizes your life? Do you have a longing for the things of God? Is the spiritual man needing to be renewed, loving the Word of God and the things of God, or are the things of God foolishness? Whatever the case is, everybody falls into one of these categories. Either the natural man, the spiritual man, or the carnal man? Let's do some examining of our hearts tonight. Let the Lord have His way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that Your Spirit would work in each heart. And as even this text says, the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals or ministers truth to us. Father, it's Your Holy Spirit that can illuminate or give understanding as to what our true heart's condition is. And Lord, I even pray tonight that if there are some among us who are not saved, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would work in their heart even tonight to open up that understanding. And Father, that they would be humbled and be willing to humble themselves before You and do business with God tonight. Father, I pray for Your people, Lord, that You'd grow us and strengthen us. Father, that we would be like the spiritual man that loves the things of God and longs for the presence of God and loves the Word of God and desires for that relationship to grow into deeper, fuller intimacy. Father, that You'd grow us up in the Lord unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Lord, as we consider next week the carnal man and characteristics of him, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be diligent as saints of God. Like the Apostle Paul said, to keep our body in subjection. To not live according to how I feel, but live according to principles of God's Word and commands of God's Word. Father, to not let our flesh dictate and dominate in our life, because we've been given the Holy Spirit of God and we have victory over this old man. Lord, to be diligent to put off the old man concerning the former lifestyle and put on the new man, which is created in the image of God. Lord, that we'd be spiritually minded. Father, we'd grow. Lord, that we'd be in a position where You can better use us to bring glory to Your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.